Holy Spirit, let's be mindful that you're moving in this place and that you want to meet each and every one of us and reveal your life and your truth to us. So, Lord, I pray now through the words that I bring that, Lord, we'd experience something of you, learn more of your truth, and understand more clearly the work of your Holy Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're kind of looking at this new vision of what it means to be the church, what it means to be followers of Jesus. Looking at the last thing Jesus says to his followers. The last thing he says to them is this story where the disciples come up to him and go, "It's right, Jesus, you've been resurrected. You've come back to life. You're here. This is amazing." And they say, "Are you now going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" And Jesus looks around them and kind of goes, "You've missed the point, guys. It was never about restoring the kingdom of Israel. It was never about making Israel better. This was about redeeming the entire world. This was about a bigger story, a bigger picture that goes beyond your expectations and has the expectations of what God has for the entire world." He's saying, broaden your horizons. You've got to go to the ends of the earth with this message. This is not for you to keep in Israel in your little comfort zone. This is for you to go out into the world and bring transformation to it by the power of God. And he says to them in Acts 1, 7 and 8, which is kind of the key verses for this idea, what we're looking at over the next few weeks, is he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." When they ask him this question, he says, "It's not for you to know, it's only for the Father to know." So the first thing you've got to get your heads around, guys, is the fact that if you're going to change the world, you can't rely on yourself, you've got to rely on the Father. You've got to trust that God is who he says he is and will do what he's promised. You've got to trust that God is the Father who is doing something, who you can trust and is reliable, and that trust is forged in the place of relationship. He then says, you've then got to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, which we're going to look at today. That you can't do this without God's power in you. And lastly, the thing that you're called to go and do is share the story of Jesus. Jesus being the one who allows us to encounter the love of the Father and experience the freedom of the Holy Spirit. It's caught up in the story of the Son. And so kind of our vision going forward is about, what does Jesus say to his early disciples? The very last thing he says to them is this: trust the Father, receive the Spirit, and tell the story of the Son. It's simply that. That in your Christian walk, and in your life with Jesus and with the Father God in heaven and the Holy Spirit, it's about making sure that we are learning to trust more of our lives to God, letting go of our control and letting God be God, receiving more of his Spirit to embrace his freedom and his power to go and do the things that Jesus did. And all of that is an aid of telling the story of the Son, to share this love with the world. That's what it's all about. But because it's not in our comfort zone of God restoring our Israel, our kingdom, what we want him to do, it means we're going to go into places that feel uncomfortable, where we're going to have to rely on who God is. And the whole thing of the story of the Bible is God drawing us back into the relationship where we can be back like it is in Genesis, where we rely on, trust in, and experience the power of God in our lives. And so our vision is this idea of these three key strands, what Jesus says about who God is: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These three strands that come together to form the fullness of who God is. And when we grasp this, we'll have a resilience about God, and we'll have a purpose from God which can't be shaken. And it says in Ecclesiastes 4:12, a threefold strand isn't easily broken. And all ropes, if you look at them today, are still made the same way. They are still made from three strands woven together because it's really hard to break. And for each of us, often we have an experience of part of the Trinity. We get our heads around maybe Jesus, but not the Holy Spirit. Or we get our heads around the Father, but not the Son. Or we find the father figure thing really difficult because of other things in our lives, but we're okay with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But if you don't have a full richness of the whole Trinity, and you're not embracing the full relationship with the fullness of God, something will be limited in our ability to find strength from who God is. So last week we looked at trusting the Father, and this week we're looking at what does it mean to receive the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to receive God into our lives? I want to show you this picture. This is an icon by a guy called Andrea Rublev. It's quite a famous picture, and the title of it, someone's called the Trinity, but it's actually called the Hospitality of Abraham, and it looks at an Old Testament story in Genesis of three people who come to Abraham, and kind of in the picture, and in the story of Abraham, effectively, you end up with these three characters who start off being kind of angels, then start off being, first of all, they start off being holy people, they start off being angels, and then end up being God. And this kind of icon, which is about the hospitality of Abraham, has then kind of been shaped into what does it look like to be the Trinity? What is the picture of the Trinity? And in this picture, these three characters, these three people of the Trinity, are sat there in this beautiful pose. And this comes from the Eastern tradition of the church. And the Eastern tradition kind of gets some things better than our Western tradition. In the Western tradition, what we did straight away with the Trinity is we went, there's three of them. Quickly, put some hierarchy in. So we went, well, the Father comes first, and then there's maybe the Son, and then the Holy Spirit comes after that. Which isn't what the Bible teaches at all. And the Eastern Church gets it better, and they kind of go, it's all of them. They're all equal. The equality of the Trinity is the fact that you've got the Father who is loving the Son's loving the Spirit, and the Spirit's loving the Father. There's this kind of interchange of relationship where they're all about each other. That when we sing a song to Jesus, Jesus is going, I love your song to me, but what about the Father? What about the Spirit? When we sing a song to the Spirit's going, but what about the Father? What about the Son? Because God's interested in glorifying the other parts of himself. Like, God's all about the other. And the beautiful thing about this picture is it's like this perfect circle, which is why this is a renowned picture in art, because the picture itself forms this beautiful, perfect circle. This kind of wholeness of oneness. But if you take that circle, and rather than it being upright, you flip it forwards, what you notice when you look at the picture then, is that around the table and around that circle, is the fact that there's a space at the front. That what this picture is saying is, God wants to invite you into community. God wants to make space and room for you in the experience of his love. If the Trinity is this beautiful picture of relationship where each is about the other, where love is expressed in a perfect way, this picture is saying, God wants to invite you into that love, into that experience of wholeness and freedom. God wants to invite you in to all that he is, that place of unconditional acceptance and love. That's the invitation from heaven. That is the good news of the story of Christianity. God wants to know you personally and invite you into a personal relationship where you can experience unconditional love and through that find unconditional freedom when you understand that nothing that you have done impacts how God sees you. That's made possible through Jesus, so you can be in relationship with the Father and becomes real for us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you want to come on this course, that's what that course is all about. It's all about understanding what it means to live in the freedom of God. Because it's so easy for us to get into that habit and that pattern of going, well, I know God says this, but I don't feel that way, so I'm not going to believe it. Or we get into that pattern of sin where we kind of go, oh, I've messed up again, I repent. And then I mess up again, and I repent. And God says, that's not the cycle he wants you to be in. He wants you to be in a place where you are free. Because in Christ you are free. So that's what that course is all about. It's about embracing what it means to be invited into the unconditional, accepting love of Jesus, of the Father, of the Spirit. You are invited in to take part in this love fest that is the Trinity. God's to invite you into that. It's an invitation to find my place and your place in the circle of unconditional love and acceptance. And there's this kind of theological term called perichoresis, which is a Greek word, which just means a dance. And it's like saying this, the Trinity is like a dance. You can't work out quite who's who. That when you read the Bible, one minute it talks about Jesus does this, then it talks about the Father doing this, then it talks about the Spirit doing this. It's going, what are the different roles of these different individuals in the Trinity? And it's a bit like when you're watching dancers, sometimes you can't work out who's who in a dance because it's moving so quickly and so fast. And this idea of a dance, this everlasting, life-giving dance of God, of love and acceptance, is saying you are being invited into the dance floor of heaven to come and be part of this experience, part of this new life, to be drawn into what it means. And for some of us, we're like, woohoo, yay! And we jump straight into it. And for some of us, we stand on the edge of the dance floor, going, I'm not getting on the dance floor. And then someone comes over, don't they, and they drag us in. And we kind of go, oh, okay. Oh. And the role of the Holy Spirit is to drag you in to the dance of heaven. And for some of you, that'd be easy. And for some of you, you're thinking, well, I don't want to go there. I can't do that. I'm not good enough for that. Oh, what if people laugh at me? What if people this, what that, and the other? Oh, I feel too much shame or I feel too much fear. And the Spirit of God just says, I'm going to pull you in to the dance of heaven. You see, it says in 2 Corinthians 13:14, words that we often sometimes use at the end of a service. It says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And you kind of hear a really simple description of what the Trinity is all about. It's saying, it's the grace of Jesus that opens the door to experience God. He takes away the barriers that get in the way of us being able to be near a perfect God. He dies on the cross for our sin, removes our sin so that we can embrace this new life. That's the work of Jesus. It's the grace of Jesus who brings us into the love of the Father. And it's the Holy Spirit who draws us into fellowship of our God, who pulls us onto the dance floor. No matter how reluctant we are, he says, come in. Come and find new life. Come and find freedom. Come and experience something you've never thought was possible before. Come and find this new life. An early church father called Irenaeus, he used an analogy which isn't perfect for the Trinity, but he says that the Holy Spirit and Jesus are like the two hands of the Father embracing the world. And what he means by that effectively is, which I've shorthanded to, is this. It's Jesus who opens the door to the Father. And it's the Holy Spirit who pushes us through. That it's through Jesus that you are able to have that relationship. Through what he's done on his death, resurrection, how he's conquered sin and death. He does the theology bit. He does all the complicated stuff that no one quite understands how it all works. To make it possible for you and me to be in the presence of a holy God. But it's the Holy Spirit who's saying, embrace this new life. He's the one who wants to push you into this new life. He's saying, Jesus opens the door and the Holy Spirit wants to push you through and say, there's something more for you. There's more life for you to experience. There's more for you to encounter and experience. And sometimes when the Holy Spirit gets involved in our life, it's uncomfortable because we don't want to be dragged onto the dance floor. We don't want to be pushed into the next thing in our life. We don't want to be, it can be often uncomfortable. And sometimes when people encounter the power of the Holy Spirit, odd things happen. Not always, but sometimes people shake. Sometimes people cry. Some people fall over. Some people just stand there really, really peacefully. For some people, it brings up pain. And all these things are the work of the Holy Spirit trying to draw us into freedom by pointing out areas of our life that maybe need some attention and work or some healing and some of the love of God to come and bring truth and life to the parts of our life that are laying dead or we've buried things that are painful and hurtful. So in my life, when I first had experiences of the Holy Spirit in my teens, when I first sort of really had a big encounter, for the first 2 years I cried lots because I had a lot of pain to deal with. And so I thought experiencing the Holy Spirit meant crying. And I was like, well, this is a bit weird. Then I had this period of time where I fell over all the time. And I was like, what's this about? Why do I keep falling over? Then I had a period of time where I just kept shaking all the time I was in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I was like, what's this about? To be honest, most of the time these days, I just stand there peacefully. Because at different times in my life, at different seasons in your life, depending on what God's trying to do in you, will change how God has to interact with you. Sometimes you just need to be able to just be able to cry in the presence of a loving God. Sometimes you need to know the power of God's with you. Sometimes you just need to be overwhelmed by God's love. And if you've had some of those experiences, you might know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, that's okay. Hasn't God looked like any of those things? But the Bible does teach when people experience the power of the Holy Spirit, things often happen. Experiences often take place because a big holy God encountering little old me is quite overwhelming. And sometimes we need that encounter. We need that something physically tangible we can cling on to. Because sometimes this is God sort of saying, this is how he pulls us in, or this is how he kind of pushes us through into the next thing of our life. You might have heard the thing about the bio tapestry. There's this bit in the bio tapestry where it talks about King Harold, who's the English king. And it talks about, it has this word saying, Harold comforteth his troops. And a picture of Harold there is him with an arrow poking them into the battlefield. Because in old language, comfort didn't mean there, there, softly, softly. Comfort meant moving you on, encouraging you forwards. And sometimes the Holy Spirit in our life is the bit of us, is a bit of God that encourages us forwards. And the encouragement of the Holy Spirit and the comfort of the Holy Spirit is actually to say, you haven't got to stay where you currently are. There's more life and there's more hope for you to experience. There's more of the dance of God to experience in your life. And sometimes moving out of where we are is uncomfortable because we're quite happy with the status quo. We're quite happy sometimes. We get used to, not necessarily always happy, but often we get used to living with a certain issue in our life, or a certain pain in our life, or a certain mentality in our life. Sometimes we get used to it, and it becomes comfortable. And to let go of that is really difficult and feels uncomfortable and painful. Particularly it's things around like shame or not feeling you're good enough. To let go of that and say, that's not my identity, because God says, actually, I haven't got to feel any shame anymore. It can be quite hard to let go of something that has meant so much to you for such a long time. An identity you've told yourself for such a huge amount of your life. So the Holy Spirit is there to try and encourage us forward. And sometimes that's uncomfortable. It hasn't got to be necessarily drastic things. Sometimes it can be bits in our life where you just have a prompting from the Holy Spirit to do something. You're going, I don't want to do that. But I feel God saying I should do this. And that can be really uncomfortable sometimes. It can be things like when God says, so for example, in my life, an example I've used before, when I was passionate to be a geography teacher, and then halfway through my A-levels, God said, drop geography. And I was like, well, that makes no sense, God, because what I want to do is this. And God's saying, will you trust me? I've got something different for you. But sometimes it can be in the supermarket when you're walking down the aisle and you think, oh, I just feel God saying I need to say something to that person. And you think, oh, I don't want to do that. And it feels uncomfortable sometimes, the prompting of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit wants to encourage us to experience and embrace the fullness of life that God has for us, the dance of God. And the Holy Spirit kind of does these two things. The Holy Spirit gathers us into the presence of God. And then what he does is so we can go out boldly with the power of God. So the Holy Spirit wants to kind of just sweep us in and say, come in, experience the life of God. He wants to pull us onto that dance floor and say, come, experience this life. And once you've experienced this life, go and pull other people into the dance. Go boldly and go and pull other people into this big dance of life that is God. But what Jesus says to them, though, is this. Go into all the world, but don't go until you've experienced the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Go, but not yet. And then go again. It's like, what do we do? And what he's saying is, if the work of God is to gather people in to his love, in its simplest form, that's the gospel. God says, I love you, and I want to be in relationship with you. The Holy Spirit wants to be that part of God that ushers us in, brings us into that dance floor of the life of God. He's saying, don't go until you've experienced it yourself, until you've got the power of God in you. And so often what we do is we run ahead and we go and do this and we go and do that and we're looking to do this, this, that and the other, and we forget the simplest thing, which is simply to wait in prayer for the power of the Holy Spirit. And the disciples wait for 40 days. We often can barely make 10 minutes. We can often barely make it to just a quick prayer before a service or before what we do. I'm guilty of this all the time, by the way. I'm not saying I'm perfect at this. I'm saying this is the challenge to us, isn't it? Of going, we often go, quickly, we're going to do this now. Let's say a quick prayer. And then we go. The disciples didn't do anything like that, did they? They spent ages praying and then went and did. If you've ever read the book Red Moon Rising by Pete Craig, which is a story about prayer and the power of prayer, he talks about youngsters in parts of Europe who read Acts and went, well, let's just do that then. So they went, we want to go and share Jesus with the world, but we're going to spend 40 days in prayer, constantly in prayer for 40 days. And then, after 40 days of experiencing the power of God, experiencing the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, they went out and did an amazing mission. And you think, when did we make it so complicated? Wait on God, when we feel empowered by the Holy Spirit, then we go and do stuff. This is the challenge, isn't it? The challenge to make sure that actually we are recognizing that we need God's presence in us. We need to connect with the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We need to every day be pulled into the dance floor afresh so that we can go and have the encouragement to go and pull other people into the dance floor of heaven. So it's don't do anything until God's Spirit is at work in you and it turns up. But once it has, go out boldly and don't be afraid. Wait, but then when you get it, go boldly. And what we often do is we either don't wait long enough, or when we do wait, experience the power of the Holy Spirit, we then forget to go boldly. But I know in my life, when I experience the power of the Holy Spirit, whether that be, say, through shaking or crying, or often just when I'm in church and there's just that moment where you go, oh, the Spirit's here, I feel much more encouraged when I go out from this place to go and share who God is and His love for us. So Pentecost, when Peter gets up on Pentecost and talks about what's going on this day when the Holy Spirit is poured out after 40 days of prayer, he says, this, what's going on now, is that. And what he's referring to is lots of things in the Old Testament where it talks about how God says, I want to invite you to the wedding feast. I want to invite you to the banquet. There's going to be a day when God pours out His Spirit on all people. Men, women, young, old, doesn't matter who you are. All of you get to play in this dance. All of you get to dance. All of you get to experience the life of God. It's not for those holy people who get the Holy Spirit. It's for all of you. And Peter stands there and says, this that's going on now is what was prophesied. This is that. This is the day where God is saying everyone is being ushered into the presence of God. And what happens on Pentecost is that people of different languages start understanding Peter when he's preaching. Because God's saying, I don't care who you are, where you've come from, the Holy Spirit comes and embraces absolutely everyone, says, all of you are welcome. Everyone is welcome into this dance of God. All of you are welcome to the banqueting table, to the place of feasting, to the place of joy, to the place of where God brings life to you. Nothing gets in the way of that. And so the power of the Holy Spirit is God at work now in you. It's the power of God at work now. So when we see Jesus in the stories of the Bible, he's walking in the power of the Holy Spirit to bring God into that moment in the here and now. And what it looks like is miracles take place. We see him having words of wisdom. We see him being able to live this life that is something that I envy. And why he says, it's better that I go back to heaven so that you can have God now. In every generation, in every moment of time, for all people. It hasn't to be hanging around with Jesus, it's hanging around with the Holy Spirit who says, this is for all of you. This is God in you now. So as we talked about in our last sermon series, about the power of the Holy Spirit to bring power, love, and truth, that is for you now. You can pray for the sick now. You can expect God to speak to you about your future now. You can expect God to bring healing to your past now. You can expect God to bring freedom in your present now. Because the Holy Spirit is given to us to be God now. And that I find amazing. God gives you his presence and his power now. And you can even say this, that the story of Jesus isn't about setting you free from your sin necessarily, it's about Pentecost. Because God wants to be walking with you like he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. He wants to be in intimate relationship with you now. Jesus does the complicated theological bit of opening the door to the Father, getting rid of all the stuff that's in the way. But it's the Holy Spirit who is the arm of God embracing you in and saying, you are invited into this love, this place of freedom, this place of life. Welcome to the dance of heaven. Will you embrace me? And when we ignore the Holy Spirit, we often miss the dance of heaven. We miss the freedom and life that comes from knowing God. We miss out on getting to play at bringing the kingdom of heaven into the here and now, not only through the actions that we live out, but by the power of God to bring correction to a chaotic world now. To receive the Spirit is this, to live in the freedom of God's presence, God's present power, love, and truth. It's saying, it's for you now. His power is for you now. His love is for you now. His truth is for you now. And it's only by God's dwelling in us and by his Spirit that we can embrace the tasks and purposes he calls us to. That when you know that you're part of the dance of heaven, when you know that you are unconditionally loved, when you know that you have the power of heaven at your disposal, when you know that you have the truth of God to lead and guide you, you can go out confidently and boldly to find new purpose in your life. When we live in fear, it's hard to have purpose because we're going, I can't do that because it doesn't feel like it's possible. It's like what the disciples are saying, are you going to do what we need you to do now in our little world? And he goes, no, it's bigger than that. Move your horizons. There's so much more for you. And they're going, but we can't do that. He goes, you can't now, but wait for the Holy Spirit, and then you'll be able to go boldly. When the Spirit of God is in us, we have the confidence and the boldness to embrace the purposes of God for our life. And so many of us miss the purpose of God in our life because we live still struggling with fear. What if God doesn't show up? What if I step out and it wasn't God? What if? What if? What if? And God's saying, no, 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 no. It's now. It's the now. And so the Holy Spirit is a bit like this. When you become a Christian, you receive the Holy Spirit at that moment. It is the mark and the seal of what God's done in your life. But it's like a pilot light in a boiler. It's always on. It's always there. But the boiler's not always on. It's not always working to do what it could do, to heat your home. And when we spend time in the presence of God, when we come intentionally to practice the presence of God, what we do is we fan into flames that pilot light into something which has the ability to light the whole boiler, to heat the home, to heat the house. So some of us are going, well, I've got the Holy Spirit inside of me, that's fine. But what God's saying is, it's what Paul says to Timothy, fan into flames. You've got it, but it could be more. You've got some life, but you could have more. You've got some freedom, but you could have some more. You've got some power, but you could have some more. And so, What we need to learn to do is cultivate that relationship with the Holy Spirit to fan into flames the Spirit of God in you so that you can experience more power, more love, more truth, more freedom. And when you experience that, you have the boldness and the confidence to go and share that with other people. Fan it into flames. How do we fan it into flames? Through the practices of intimacy with God. We talked about this in our series about apprenticeship to Jesus. About what the whole thing's about is creating times and moments where we choose intentionally to meet with God. So I'm going to intentionally spend time in prayer. I'm going to intentionally spend time in worship. I'm going to intentionally spend time in the Bible. I'm going to intentionally spend time in community. I'm going to do the disciplines or the practices of Jesus so that I can fan into flames the work of God in me. And we talked about this, I say before, it's about like training. It's like if I've got a weight, let's say I want to lift 100 kilos. I can't do that right now, but through training, I could probably get to a place where I could just about lift that. I don't have the power right now, but there's the ability to embrace that power going forwards. It's definitely there for me to be able to have. I just don't have it right now. And the practices, moments of intimacy with God, what they do is they build, they're at the training place where we then grow the power of God in us. So you can experience more life of God, but you've got to fan it into flames. It's not going to happen magically one day. It's about fanning into flames. It's about putting yourself in an environment where God can meet you and encounter you. I talked about earlier on about crying in the presence of God. Now, that happened because I was in an environment where I let God into my life. God never pushes himself into your life. He'll never kind of make you cry or make you fall over or make you do those things. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you are still always in control. But it's down to the level at which you're prepared to surrender in that moment. Some people get fearful of the Holy Spirit because they think, I'm going to be out of control. The Holy Spirit is polite, and he will never do something that you're not prepared to do. He'll go at the pace that you let him go at. But this is often then why some of us don't experience the fullness of what God has for us, because we're scared to let him in. To let him into that place in our life, into that pain, or into that hardship, or into that place where we're struggling to trust, or that place where we need some power. And it's about trusting the Father, as we talked about last week. Letting go to experience his rest and allow him to work in us. So we need to create space and opportunity for the Spirit of God to meet with us, to fan into flames all that he wants to do in our lives to bring freedom. And how we're going to end today is just spending some time in worship, inviting the Holy Spirit into this place to see what he wants to do amongst us.